Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Across the globe, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Thursday, May the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2015, as we prepare. Tomorrow actually is... It is Friday, of course, because that's the day that comes after Thursday, unless, you know, somebody somewhere has decided to change a calendar on us. But Friday still comes after Thursday, follows Thursday. But this is a different one, because a different Friday, because it'll mark the unofficial, official beginning of summer, because it is Memorial Day weekend. Friday tomorrow will mark the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. And it is traditionally here in the United States, the day or the weekend that summer starts to get a kickoff. Who kicks off? I mean, some municipalities may have some fireworks. Lots of people are going to have barbecues and picnics. It's supposed to be a nice day on Monday, which is the observance, Memorial Day observed. A lot of people are going to be driving. They're going to be driving. So they're going to be getting around in the good old US of A by automobile, as it were. By the way, the number that you can call this evening to chime in on anything that I'm speaking about tonight is toll-free 603-835-3224. That's 603-835-3224. And by the way, we have some grand news that I'll share with you next week. Be adding another station. Absolutely, yes. That news will come to you next week, so be prepared as we continue to grow. Just got a lot to cover today. So excuse me because I want to just tell you everything right up front, but obviously I can't. You know, I may be able to have multiple conversations in my head at once, but unfortunately I cannot speak to you in multiple conversations at once. So we have to take one at a time. So bear with me if I jump around a little bit, because most of them are interconnected. One way or the other, they're interconnected. So you're going to be driving around. Now, the price of a gallon of gas is about, you know, it's fairly stable. It's about around here in my neck of the woods, it's around $2.60 a gallon for regular unleaded. And I know in some places it's a little bit more. Some places it's a little bit less. And some places, like, you know, probably California, Hawaii, it's a lot more. But hey, not my fault you live in California or Hawaii. It is what, you know, I would love to have a radio station in Hawaii. That would be awesome, because then, look, you know, if you're listening out there in Hawaii and you want me to come speak at your event, let my agent know. And yeah, well, you know, we'll book a flight to Hawaii for that. Absolutely. Now, as liberal as Hawaii is, I'm sure there probably will not be a lot of takers in Hawaii to bring me out to speak to their events, but I'd be more than happy to go. You know, so yeah, Hawaii would be good. Especially, you know, when the campaign season really kicks off, so December through, you know, say March of you know, December of 2015 through March of 2016. Perfect time. I'm wide open for an event in Hawaii. Just so you know. we'll be on the first. I don't think you can take a direct. Can you take a direct flight from the East Coast to Hawaii? I don't think you can. I think you have to. You have to jump the land, as they say. Go from like Boston or New York to probably LA or San Francisco, and then from LA or San Francisco you head out to Hawaii. I don't think there's a straight nonstop East Coast to Hawaii. There might be. I don't fly to Hawaii very often, so I don't know. There might be. And if there is, I am sorry that I don't know everything, so I apologize if I do not know that there is a direct nonstop flight from an East Coast airport to Hawaii. But I do not think there is. There may be a direct flight, but I think there's a stopover in, on the West Coast. If anything, just to refuel, I would assume. But, yeah. You know, one of the things I can remember with flying is, you know, when you have something to look at, it's kind of neat. So when you're flying, like when I flew from Boston to San Francisco, it was kind of neat because you got to see the landscape. You know, if it was a clear day in the Rockies from the Rocky Mountains from the air, what a majestic sight. Absolutely beautiful. And the way they fly the route, you know, you're flying north. So I think if I remember the flight path correctly from Boston to San Francisco Airport, you would think that you'd ended up flying over Kansas and Colorado. No. Gardner, you will see it, you know, a town called or small city called Leominster. Well, it's not called Leominster, but it's spelled that way. But it's pronounced Leominster, just so you know. If you're ever in that neck of the woods of Massachusetts, you know, around Route 2 area, it's Leominster. So, and I would, you know, Route 2 going through Massachusetts from about the 495 Beltway out towards the Vermont, New York state border towards Albany. That is a beautiful road to take, especially once you cross, once you get west of 91, US 91. Then it really turns into the old Indian path type of thing. It is absolutely a gorgeous drive. If you've never done it, I would suggest that, you know, if you get the chance this summer, take that Route 2 drive west of Route 90, US 91, US Highway 91 to the New York line. Gorgeous drive. You will be happy that you did it. But yeah, understand that you're going to have to pay for that. Now, this is basically coming from the annals of see, I told you so. And I know most of you have not been around, have not listened to the show long enough for you to understand when I say I told you so. But no, I know this, I told you so. Because the problem with government and taxes in trying to tax a habit, or trying to tax the way you spend and the way you live your life and put a tax on that, it is going to curtail certain activities. And one of those things has to do with gasolina. Gas for your automobile. for your car, your SUV, your truck, whatever, your minivan. I don't care what it is. It runs on gas unless you have a, even if you have a hybrid, you're still running on gas. But we have these all-electric vehicles, too. But, however, there is a problem now. Because government has been, for decades, has been forcing the industry to do what? To increase the MPG, miles per gallon, to make engines and cars, automobiles, more efficient with a gallon of gas. Sure, that may be great for the automobile owner. And to some extent, because these things have to be more efficient, they have to be the engines have to be more precise. They have to be better designed. In a better designed engine, a more precisely assembled mechanical engine that goes in today's cars lasts longer. So the old obsolete car that, you know, that kind of died at between the 60,000 and 100,000 mile mark, that can't happen today. I suppose they could design it that way, but they wouldn't be in business very long. And the car wouldn't get the kind of gas mileage that is required. So as we increase the MPG of our vehicles, they're becoming more and more reliable over a longer period of time. So now it's not unheard of for a typical automobile to go to a quarter million miles, 200,000 to 250,000 miles. That's, you know, for a lot of different vehicles, the 250,000 to 300,000 mile mark is the so-called obsolescence mark, and that's when people really start to see notice some real major changes in the engine, and then they have to start doing some major repairs. But that's also supposed to be about the time when, you know, unless you're paying on the car for more than 6 years, it's also about the time probably that you will have paid off the car if you still have it. So you'll be kind of driving a free car for a little while, and then you'll sort of have to dishing out money for major repairs, depending on how much you drive. You know, once you hit that 200,000, 250,000 mile mark, that's when you can start expecting, with today's modern cars, that for there to be major mechanical issues. But these cars, because they're so more efficient, and the ones that you buy today are even more efficient than, you know, like I have an 07. And it's fairly efficient. But it's got over 200,000 miles on it, and I'm starting to see certain things that I need to do to it, you know, mechanically speaking, that I didn't have to do before. And I baby my car, so this thing will probably last another 200,000 miles on. But the its kindred car today, its nameplate today, is more efficient and more powerful, has more horsepower than my car. So the 2015 version of my car is more powerful and gets better gas mileage than my 07 model. And it's expected to last a little bit longer. Nothing wrong with that. Well, except for it's not necessarily good for the auto industry because, hey, if a car is supposed to start costing you a hell of a lot of money after about 3 or 4 years, well, then it means you got to buy a new car. But now people are saying, well, these things are just costing too damn much. I'm going to keep this thing for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But their MPG is producing another problem. The other problem is that with higher MPG means what? You are buying less gas. So if you're buying less gas, what does that mean? That means you're paying less tax. If you're paying less tax per gallon, what happens to the state and the Fed who depends on the gas tax? They're not making as much money on the gas tax. Now understand, the Fed are the ones that are pushing for ever higher and higher MPGs. They're pushing for ever more efficient vehicles. So the more efficient a vehicle gets, the less you're going to buy of that particular commodity called gasoline. Well, if you're buying less gasoline, That means the state and federal government is getting less in tax money. And I told you so, that at some point they were going to, just like kind of like the cigarette thing, you know, cigarette taxes that they were using for all kinds of things. But people were going to stop smoking, and that they were going to, the revenue from the cigarette taxes was going to drop. And lo and behold, that is exactly what's happened. It has crossed that threshold where cigarette purchases are, have declined in such a manner and in such an amount that it affects the overall collection of the taxes that they thought, the government thought, that they were going to get in perpetuity, I guess. But if people aren't necessarily going to drive more today because their car gets better gas mileage, they're still going to, you know, go about their daily routine. You know, if they still work at the same place and it's still only 20 miles from their house, just because they get a car that now gets 35 miles per gallon instead of 30, doesn't mean that they're going to take a longer way to work. They're going to drive that same distance, that same path every day that they have been driving, which means that they're, instead of maybe having to fill up, you know, once, you know, instead of having to go from a quarter of a tank at the gas station every Friday, they fill it up from a quarter of a tank. Now they get to the gas station and they've only burned a half a tank. Well, you know, the average size gas tank, let's say it's roughly, you know, 12 gallons. I know most cars are a little bit bigger. Let's say it's 12 gallons, just to make the round numbers work. So on average, if you were to drive, you're driving your typical pattern daily to work and such, you burn up 9 gallons in your old model. And then you buy a new model that gets better gas mileage. So instead of burning 9 gallons, which means you would have to buy 9 gallons when you go to fill up, now you're only burning 6 gallons. Still get a 12-gallon tank, but now you're only burning 6 gallons. So when you go to fill up, you only have to buy, what? 6 gallons. So that's a 3-gallon decrease. That's 3 gallons that is tax on 3 gallons that the state and the Fed is not going to make off of you. So you're saving by not paying for the extra 3 gallons of gas, but also not paying the 3 gallons in taxes. So the Fed and the state is thinking, well, you know, this is happening too much. People are actually buying the cars that we have been forcing the manufacturers to make. Surprise, surprise. So now Oregon is decided, and I told you this was going to happen. I told you this way back in like 2010 when I started looking at this. That there was going to come a day that they were going to be looking for other ways to tax you. Because if you do less of something that they're taxing, then that means their revenue is going to drop. And let's face it, government can never do with less money. You, on the other hand, you can do with less money. You're going to have to do with less money because the government is not going to do with less money. They're going to find every possible way that they can think of to make sure that they get more money out of you. You're the one that's going to have to deal with less money. Because the government is never going to deal with having to, and is never going to bother with having to deal with less. They're going to force you to deal with less, but not them. So now the state of Oregon, and this is actually, the other places are reporting this too, but this is a My Way, which is an AP News website, myway.com. Oregon is going to test a pay per mile as a replacement for the gas tax. And here's why. The program is meant to help the state raise more revenue to pay for so-called road and bridge projects at a time when money generated from gasoline taxes are declining across the country, in part because of greater fuel efficiency and increasing popularity of fuel-efficient hybrid and electric cars. Now, if you have an electric car, you know, some people think, well, you're not paying your fair share on the road. You are paying a tax on your electric rate. You know, you are. But you're not paying the same rate, you know, per mile, basically, as somebody who's driving a gas car. So they're saying that you need to pony up because they're not getting enough taxes out of you from when you're driving your very efficient vehicle. Now, see, they're telling you you should buy an efficient vehicle because it's going to save you money, right? And then they turn around and say, well, you're saving too much money. We're going to have to tax you. And damned if they're not making sure that by doing an alternative tax this way, that they're going to make even more. So, therefore, you're going to end up paying more. Now, I'm sure, I hope you'll be happy driving around thinking that you're saving the planet while you're paying for the privilege to do so. All because our government, at all levels of government, cannot do with less money. Oh, absolutely not. They need to tax the hell out of you so they can continue wasting on a bloated bureaucracy. I told you it was going to happen, folks, and stuff like this is going to continue. It will.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
They made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Thinking of saving the planet by driving these hybrid and these total electric vehicles are now being stung, because you know one of the advantages to driving one of these things was you were paying a lot less in so-called road use taxes. And I'm not talking about tolls, but I don't think there's a lot of tolls west of the Mississippi. That's not the type of system that they like to use out there. Yeah, I know that there are specific places like the Golden Gate Bridge has I think it's a one-way toll. I think it's $10 if I remember correctly. When I was out there, I think it was like $10 for a toll. But you got to drive two ways, coming and going, for that same. I think if you left the city. No, I don't even remember. But and that's pretty sad, because for us over here, you know, tolls are a pretty everyday thing. I mean, we have toll booths here in New Hampshire. I know, live free or die, but we still, there's a couple of roads, highways that have tolls on them. And the tolls are relatively inexpensive, except if you start trying to add it up per mile. They're about, like the toll booth closest to me, I think it's about $1. But if you use an Easy Pass, you get, it's only 70 cents. So you get like a 30% discount. But on the seacoast here, out towards Portsmouth, it's a $2 toll. But there's also tolls in Boston to use the tunnels, going back and forth. And I'm not even talking about the Massachusetts Turnpike, Route 90, which also turns into the New York State Thruway, which is tolls. So whenever I go to visit my parents in upstate New York, I'm paying tolls. So the whole notion that I would actually remember the toll that I paid in going into New York City, you know, if you're going to drive, you're going to pay some hefty tolls going across some of those bridges. And I know driving to Pennsylvania a couple of times, I made the mistake of driving past New York City and going over the Tappan Zee Bridge and that type of thing, has some heavy tolls there. So I would not necessarily remember the toll for the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge, because it's something that we're used to up here in the Northeast. Not something, so you just kind of expect it. But I know west of the Mississippi, it's not a traditional way of paying for your roads and your bridges. I get it. So when you're going to Oregon, these people are what's happening in Oregon is, starting July 1st, is up to 5,000 volunteers in Oregon can sign up to drive with devices that collect data on how much they have driven and where they've driven. Now that's enough to hold me right there. Okay, you know, you want to know how much I drive? That's pretty easy. When I go into something called an annual state inspection, they take my mileage, by the way. So and everything is computerized. So it's pretty easy to determine, okay, so last year, you know, this was the ending miles that we had, the mileage that we had for the inspection. And this year, here's the mileage. What we don't need is the government to start demanding that we put devices on our vehicles so they can start telling us, telling where we're going. No. But here's the deal. So I want to know who these 5,000 volunteers are going to be, because you can sign up to drive with devices that collect how much collect the data on how much they have driven and where you've driven, and the volunteers will agree to pay 1.5 cents for each mile traveled. So you're going to get a bunch of liberals who are going to agree to voluntarily pay a 1.5 cent tax per mile tax. Who are these? Part of the reason that you buy the vehicle is so you don't have to buy gas, and you don't therefore have to pay the gas tax. Who are these nut jobs that are going to sign up for this? In any case, some electric and hybrid car owners, however, they're saying that the new tax would be unfair to them and discourage purchasing of new green vehicles. Well, you think? If the tax is going to end up costing you more than the gas tax, do you think the people are going to be willing to buy a green car? I'm just putting it out there. And it's all because of two things, folks. It's two things only. We have these environmentalist wackos who think that, yes, mate, we need to have gas taxes, man, to force people to drive more efficient cars. So the government says, yeah, you're right, we're going to force the auto manufacturers to make more efficient cars. So the auto manufacturers come up with more efficient cars that actually work, that people want to drive, that people want to keep. And they're not buying as much gas. So now the government's sitting back scratching their head and says, oh, we're not making as much money. We got to do something different. And so we're going to ask the people who are driving these hybrid cars that aren't paying any road taxes. Now, understand, your driver's license fees and your car registration fees are also supposed to go to help pay for the roads. Now, I understand you don't want to be like Massachusetts and end up, you know, for depending on the model and what your value of your car is, you don't want a $900 annual car registration fee. That happens. I know we kind of do the same thing here in New Hampshire. And here's, we have a lower tax burden, but you're kind of getting nailed on your car every year. Understand, the government thinks they own your vehicle. Like when I bought my car in 2007, my first year's registration fee was over $400. Now, mind you, I just spent like 19 grand on the vehicle. And now for me to drive it, I've got to spend another $400 just to get the license plates. That's just for a year. Now, from my understanding in Massachusetts, that same car would have cost me that year over $500. That's insanity. And now they want to say, okay, you hybrid owners, now they want to tell you, it'd be like here in Massachusetts saying, okay, now you're going to have to pay 1.5 cents per mile, but you're also going to still have to pay that $600 a year registration. Why do we put up with crap like that? You know, it's like hello, McFly. Hey, Americans, stand up for yourself. This is ridiculous. Now, there are people who are against this because they say that the program is targeting hybrid and electric vehicle owners, and it's discriminatory. Well, it is, but welcome to discrimination, because they think it's unfair that you're not paying gasoline taxes now. Oh, forget the fact that you're still paying, you know, electric taxes, utility taxes on the electric that you're plugging. You know, unless you have if you have a solar system in your house, in other words, you're getting free electricity from the sun and plugging that into your car, now you're not paying any taxes on the car for driving the car. When they figure that one out, oh, watch out. They're going to flip out. I am serious, folks. You know, you're not paying any utility taxes. And when the government figures that one out, they are going to flip out on ratepayers. Oh no! Now you're going to have a tax for not being taxed. In other words, you're not spending because there are people who produce enough power from their little house that it feeds the excess gets fed back into the grid. Well, there's gonna soon be a tax for that. You just wait and see. Don't doubt me on that, folks. If you're not, they are going to find a way to tax you every single possible way. Especially when you're looking for ways not to get taxed legally. The government's gonna say, oh, no, you don't. No, you're saving the planet, and while you're saving the planet, give us the money. So, I mean, all of this, I thought, you know, the roads and stuff was part of infrastructure, but I don't know. I thought your car registration and your driver's license and other things went I guess you really don't want to use traffic violations and such because then they'd really be hammering people on that. You know, you're driving 2 miles over the speed limit. That's a $200 fine. Look, that could soon be happening as well. Do not doubt the government's ability to be creative in garnering and squeezing money out of the people. Do not ever underestimate the government's ability to be creative to get money out of you. And the only way you're going to stop that is by electing bright, honest people who do not want to do that to you. I mean, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take control of your government, folks, by who you elect. And if you people are going to complain about taxes, well, you know what? You have nobody but to blame but yourself because you're the one that elected the people who are raising your taxes sky high in the first place. Plain and simple. You're the one who are electing people who are telling you that there's this global, man-made global climate. Jeb Bush, speaking of that, is out there talking about climate change. And I have the story here. Here it is. Jeb Bush. It's from the Washington Post, folks. But Jeb Bush says the climate is changing. Yeah, we got that, Jeb. We know the climate is changing. It's always changing. It's never staying the same. The climate has never stayed static. It never. Name me a point in history where the climate was static. It's always changing. And that means that, well, since it's always changing, that means that the people have nothing to do with it. But here, you know, Jeb was in Bedford, New Hampshire. Yeah, in my neck of the woods. Look, this is the time we get these people all the time now. You know, when presidential elections start to gear up, we get them coming here and screwing things up, what have you. But Bedford, New Hampshire, Dateline, from the Washington Post, Jeb Bush believes that the Earth's climate is changing, but he says, don't just blame humans. He says, the climate is changing. I don't think the science is clear on what percentage is man-made and what percentage is natural. So he's buying the BS that we're at least partially responsible. And look, these are the people that some people want to have in office. You know, Obama is out there talking about climate change, and he's talking to Coast Guard people, graduates. He said, President Obama says that climate change is a threat to homeland security and it hurts military readiness. Now, I don't know exactly how climate change is hurting military readiness. Now, let's just, for, you know, crips and giggles here, say that the planet is warming up, which means that there's less snow. Less snow means that military bases, especially Air Force bases in the northern climes that usually have to clear snow off the runways and the tarmacs in order to get the planes out there to fly, so the planes can fly, means they don't have to do it. How does that harm military readiness? I guess we need to be able to, you know, use snowplow equipment on the runways. And I guess we need to, be able to clear away hangars so we can get the planes out so they can take off. And I guess we need to make sure that, you know, that we get to use all of the de-icing equipment that planes have to use during the winter months in order for them to be ready. Look, folks, I kid you not about this stuff. You know, you're out there and you're trying to, you think you're saving the planet and you're trying to do a good thing, and you think that you're also going to save some money. And the government is going to hammer you every which way. First of all, you're not doing enough to save the planet. But hey, when you start doing more, well, that means your old way that they used to collect taxes on, well, now they're not collecting taxes on it. So now they got to figure out a different way to squeeze the money out of you. And while they're figuring out a different way to squeeze the money out of you, it is actually going to end up costing you more because they're going to squeeze more money out of you. All the while saying, well, hey, you know what? You're trying to stay in the old-fashioned system. Why? Because it's cheaper. While they're trying to push and push and push and trying to make the alternative ways even more expensive because they want them to be even more efficient. And when you get it, okay, so I'm going to put these solar panels on my roof, so I'm not going to be able to connect, I don't need to connect to the grid, the electric grid. Oh, no, you have got to be connected to the grid. But I don't want to be because they're going to charge me, the electric company is going to charge me to be hooked up, and I don't need them anymore. Well, no, you got to be hooked up so we can charge a tax on that. But they'll tell you it's so you can feed back your excess power to the, you know, make a little bit of money. Now, here's the problem with that. One, you're going to have to pay income tax on that. If you make a profit on that, you're going to have to pay income tax on it. You get what I'm saying? So they want, if you try to be a good little citizen, they're going to try to figure out a way to slam you with taxes. Folks, you're not hearing me here. It's already happening. See, in Oregon, they're claiming this is up to 5,000 volunteers. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know who anybody, especially a liberal, who's going to volunteer to pay a tax. So if the pilot program fails to garner the results that the government of Oregon was hoping to garner, and they know they're not going to get it, then all of a sudden it's going to become mandatory. And because you didn't agree to voluntarily give up, you know, some privacy, they're going to demand that you do, and that all of these vehicles sold in the state from now on have to have these things. So they'll be able to tell how many miles you drive and where you drive, and that you will have to give them permission to look at this stuff. So your privacy's out the window, and you're paying more in taxes for the privilege of not having privacy anymore. But yet you're thinking, oh, it's a good idea because, you know, we're saving the planet, when we're not harming the planet in the first place. Not to the extent that these global warming and global man-made global climate change people want you to believe. And trust me, one of the things about the George Bush article is, you know, Bush knows about the climate problems because of the rising oceans. Folks, there is no rising oceans. And due to the melting polar caps. I just told you about a week ago about these scientists trying, they could not get to the Antarctic South Pole station because there was too much freaking ice. And yet, On the same day, I'm reading a story about how the polar ice caps are melting. They have a picture of the scientist trapped in ice. Where is the melting going on? Where is the planet warming up? We can see satellite data from NASA. Oh, there's been an 18-year lull in heating up of the planet. In fact, it's been cooling off. Where's the heat? These past 2 years, we've been having cold weather galore all over the planet. We've broken records just about everywhere on the planet for cold. This year, we were breaking the records left and right on snowfall. Where's the freaking heat? But we're constantly told over and over and over again. Look, we know that the emails and the studies at the University of Pennsylvania and at the East Anglian University and other colleges were faked because their emails were leaked that proved that all that data was faked. Yet we're supposed to believe that we're trying to save the planet. And then when you are a nice person and you try to save the planet, they want to tax the living hell out of you for doing it. Can you wake up, please? This is nothing to do with saving the planet. This has nothing to do with saving you money, although they would tell you that it's saving you money. But in the end, you're getting screwed. Over and over and over again, we have, and yet we still have these, I'm not going to hold any punches. We have still have these freaking stupid, moronic idiots who want to tell you that there's man-made global warming. And now we've got Jeb Bush saying, well, you know, man is partially responsible. Jeb, you freaking stupid moronic idiot. We are not responsible. The data has been faked. We don't even have to look at the data anymore. We can see it with our own freaking two eyes. We got a ton of ice in the North Pole. We got a ton of ice in the South Pole. We've got 18 years of decreasing temperatures, not increasing. There is no man-made global warming. There is no man-made global climate change. The planet has done this before. It'll do it again. And there's not a damn thing we can do to stop it. So why the hell should we be paying more in taxes to prevent this from happening? And then when we do try to prevent it from happening because we're buying into all this notion that we need to buy all this green and alternative crap, then we get taxed to death on that end too. Can somebody tell me where all of this sanity is coming from? There is no sanity there. It makes absolutely no freaking sense. None. It's illogical. It's ill-conceived, and it's all it's about is controlling you. And now Oregon, I mean, do they really need to know where you are driving in order to tell how many miles that you're driving every year? No. But they want to put a tracking device in your car. That's exactly what it is, folks, a tracking device. They want to put a tracking device on your vehicle. And now first they want you to volunteer for that. But I don't think they're going to get near the 5,000 people that they want for this study. So then they're just going to say, well, screw it. We're just going to order it for everybody now. Everybody's going to have to do it. Don't doubt me on it, folks. Stuff is coming. Like, that kind of stuff is coming. Plain and simple, period. Unbelievable. Climate change? That's the threat to homeland security? What about the stupid freaking terrorist? Look, I think we've had more destruction in the past since Katrina, with terrorists than we have from Mother Nature. You got floods. Yeah, I know we have floods, and we probably shouldn't be building in areas that are low lying that have a tendency to flood like that. But no, we flood, everything gets washed out, and what do people do? They go back into the same place and they build again, and they get flooded again, and they cry and whine. Oh, I can't believe we got flooded out. Well, you live in a floodplain. What do you expect? You're living below the... sorry, New Orleans. You're living below sea level. What do you expect? But then the rest of us are supposed to believe that the reason why this is happening is simply because of man-made global climate change, when this stuff has been happening for eons? Where does this end? It doesn't end, folks. It doesn't end. There's going to come a point where they start saying, well, you know, everything is connected, and everything is man's fault, and everything is man-made global climate change, and you're going to have to deal, you're going to have to pay for it. Oh, we got to pay for this, so there's a tax on that. You're going to have to pay for this, so there's another tax on that. You're going to have to pay for this, so we're going to have to monitor your ability or your usage of this. And you're going to wake up one day and wonder where the hell your freedom went. Why is it governments following you everywhere? Why do they know where you've been, when, who you've been with, how long you were there? Because you're giving them the permission to do it right now by electing these fools and re-electing these fools over and over and over again. And pretty soon they're going to be able to tell how long you take a shower, what temperature the water was, and how much energy it took to produce the hot shower. Don't doubt me.
Hi, folks. This is Barack Obama, President of the United States of America. And I'm coming to you from some cavern somewhere that keeps me safe. Folks, listen to me. You all know that I own the mainstream news media. That's right. I have them in my pocket. And they broadcast whatever my administration and I tell them to broadcast. Now, as the president, I have to know the real news. You know, what's really happening in the world. So I listen to the Freedom America Radio Network. At freedominamericaradio.com. So I know what is really, what's really happening in America. The land that I hate, the land that I love and don't want to destroy. So I'm going to make an executive order so that no one else can listen to Freedom America Radio Network. And so I'm telling you, don't listen to Freedom in America Radio. This is Barack Obama, and I approve this act.